Good morning, everyone. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Regrets for it being 9:06 a.m. We got off to a little bit of a late start today. Today is Friday, April 16th, 2021. As I mentioned, the time is 9:06. We're meeting in the State Capitol Room, number 205. We have a full slate of committee members on board today. Senator Stevens, Senator Hughes, Senator Machicki, Senator Begich, and myself, the chair, Senator Holland. We do have a quorum to conduct business. Thank you to Jeannie, our recording secretary, and Alex, our moderator for the day. And as a reminder, please silence your cell phones. The plan today is to try to finish our work on SB 111. We do have a certain number of amendments, but some of them I think are fairly simple and may go fairly quickly. And some are a little bit longer, might require a little bit of discussion. So first up, we will begin with amendments. And I will move amendment number one.
And I will object just for purposes of explanation.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Amendment number one is a kind of a long amendment, page and three quarters, but it's a very simple idea. It just moves the effective date back to 2022, the repeal date back to 2034, and every other date that's involved in the bill just cascades back by 1 year. This was at a request of the department to give them a little bit more time to develop the guidelines. And so it is a fairly simple amendment. Senator Begich, do you maintain your objection?
I do not. I withdraw my objection.
Or is there any other objection to amendment number one before the committee? Seeing none, with no further objection, amendment number one has been adopted. Next up will be amendment number two by Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number two.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Amendment number two has been moved. I will object for the purpose of discussion. Senator Machicki, would you please explain the amendment?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It just clarifies that when there are perhaps some issues as they're dealing with parents in the reading program, that they actually have a list of resources and organizations that specialized in improving adult literacy available. And it is entered in the locations in the bill where it's relevant for offering that type of assistance. So there's not cost associated with it. I would assume that DEED would perhaps provide the districts with a list, and maybe local districts might know of local resources to plug that in as well. But I see it as a kind of sheet of paper that they might hand to people if there's if they can help improve adult literacy as well on the families where these children are affected.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. I remove my objection. Is there any further objection to amendment number two? Seeing none, amendment number two is moved, is approved. On to amendment number three by Senator Hughes.
Mr. Chair, I move amendment number three.
I will object for discussion. Senator Hughes, please explain the amendment.
This amendment makes sure the department is requiring proficiency as far as teachers in being ready and certified to teach reading instruction. We've had some discussion about this, and it would leave it up to the department. So as we have talked about before, a person can pass a class and maybe not score very well, get a D minus and still pass. So just like we're asking students to be proficient, making sure our teachers are proficient and ready to go, I think, is important. And we'll, the bottom line is it will help our students, and that's what this bill is all about. So
thank you, Senator Hughes. So basically it's kind of a proficiency addition to it. I will withdraw. I'll remove my objection. Senator Begich?
Yeah, I'm not objecting, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not going to oppose the motion, but I just wanted some clarity on two points, if I could. And the first is, we just had a slight concern here on equal protection, if there would be a challenge made to that because we're requiring something of one set of teachers and another. I don't know that, so I'm going to ask that question, you know, down the road and see if there's not an issue there, it's not a problem. But I was just curious what the commissioner's comment might be on it, if that's okay. Just their ability to administer it is all, because I hadn't seen this and I didn't know that. So would that be all right?
We have Commissioner Johnson standing by. Maybe Commissioner Johnson, there you are. Good morning, Commissioner Johnson. Would you please state your name and affiliation for the record and provide any comments?
Yes. For the record, can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
I can't echo. Okay. For the record, my name is Michael Johnson, and I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Education and Early Development. And even though it's above 40 degrees and sunny in Juneau, it's a privilege to be with the committee today, so thank you. We are just going through the amendments, so I have Aaron here in the office, and we're working through them and reading through them as we go, so we haven't had a chance to thoroughly evaluate them. In general, the department will be able to, you know, support both the professional development and whatever requirements may be, you know, implemented for teachers. And again, I'm speaking generally. We're still working through these and trying to read through the amendments this morning.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. Senator Baggins, no further comment?
No further comment.
So I had removed my objection. Is there any further objection from the committee? Seeing none, the amendment has been adopted. Amendment number 3. So I have amendment number 4. I will move amendment number 4.
And I'll object just for purposes of explanation, though I will just say for the record, as part of my objection, you explained this to me, and I think this is a smart addition to the process, but go ahead.
Thank you, Senator Baggage. Amendment number 4, in a review of the bill, we just realized there's this possible lapse. Amendment number 4 ensures that department approval of an early education program amendment number four ensures that approval is not permanent. By authorizing the department to reassess a previously approved program and revoke that approval if the program falls below quality standards.
I withdraw my objection. Thank you for that explanation.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Is there any further objection to amendment number 4? Hearing none, amendment number 4 has been adopted. On to amendment number 5 by Senator Begich.
I move amendment number 5.
For the purpose of discussion, I will object. Senator Begich, please explain the amendment.
I will. Yes, this came out of our conversations in reviewing the bill, and it looks longer only because it had to require some technical word changes in what was then the old section, the current CS section F, reverting it back to the old SB 111 section F. But what this amendment does is it just allows for those alternative assessments we mentioned earlier that were in parts of SB 42 and SB 8, and also in the original version of SB 111. And those alternative assessments included the portfolio, et cetera. And we had that discussion of trying to maintain some consistency across the board of what those alternatives would be. So that's all that this amendment does.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Machicki?
I just have a question. So how, if we're measuring effectiveness through statewide screening or assessment tools, and there's an alternative method, how would we be able to measure the effectiveness of our reading programs? How would that information of the alternative assessment be brought in to understand the collective progress?
Senator Baggage.
Thank you for that question, and through the chair to Senator Machicki. The way the provision is written is those are assessments that are established by the department. So you'd have the portfolio rules established by the department, and the alternative assessments would be established by the department. So they'd be consistent across the board. That's how you do it. The way the bill's written now is actually it's an inadvertent error, but every district could develop a different alternative portfolio or a different alternative assessment under the way it's written now. What this does is it puts that back in the hands of DEED to establish a standard for what those would be.
Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Baggage. Thank you, Senator Machicki. I will remove my objection. Is there any other objection from the committee? Seeing none, the amendment is adopted. Amendment number six is also from Senator Begich.
Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number six, and I do so with an apology. It should have been included in amendment number five. It was the two other sections where this is actually appropriate, and which is what ensures the department does the drafting of these things.
Well, I'll just object real quick for discussion, but I think you just did the discussion.
I did.
I believe amendment number six is kind of just like a bookkeeping sort of a thing, making sure all of the previous portion was restored from.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, if amendment number five had failed, I would have withdrawn amendment number six because it would have been irrelevant. The two are connected. It was my mistake.
Thank you, Senator Begich. I withdraw my objection. Senator Hughes.
And I just have a question. It kind of relates to the conversation with Senator Machicki. When we're using alternative reading portfolio, whether it's sitting down and listening to the child read and asking questions regarding comprehension, you know, some children, they snap into a fear mode with a paper and pencil sometimes. But ultimately, the assessment is still going to involve scoring that child, whether it's right. A paper or whether it's a portfolio. So they will end up with a score, and then a department's going to have a standard for that proficiency. So I just wanted to make sure that that's the intention, and that's the way I've been thinking it's going to happen. And so would you agree with that, the maker of the amendment?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, that's precisely correct.
Okay, thank you.
All right, I had removed my objection. Is there any further objection or discussion? Seeing none, amendment number six has been adopted. So now we're on to amendment number seven by Senator Hughes.
Mr. Chair, I move amendment number seven.
And I object for discussion. Senator Hughes, please explain the amendment.
This amendment simply aligns the language on parental notification of deficiency on page 28, section D, regarding K-2 students to be more aligned with the language in section F regarding third graders.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Stevens.
I'm not sure I understand it. Line 28 here, I'm sorry, line 70, I was on the wrong line. Just want to make sure I understand that you cannot determine whether it didn't explain that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. I remove my objection. Is there any further objection?
No objection, just to add to the conversation.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I really want to emphasize this really does explain the reality of the situation to a parent better than the way the bill is presently written. It just explains that it's not a whether or not, it's that this will happen, so you need to understand what the provisions are. So I think it makes good clarity, so I wanted to.
Thank you, Senator Begich.
And I'll just add, this was actually, idea was birthed with a conversation with Mark Foster, who was concerned about how strong or weak of a promotion policy you might have. And he made the comment in his research that if it can actually probably be a little bit better for the child if the child after kindergarten may not be ready for first grade, that child spends more time in kindergarten, that's an easier time than later. And a lot of parents, as we know, decide to start their children a year later, particularly little boys. So we just want it to be an option for parents. And so that clarity of language, I think, will have a more frank conversation about it.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. So Amendment 7, I may have lost my place. I tell you, I removed my objection. Is there any further objection to Amendment number 7? Just to make sure we cover that. Seeing none, Amendment number 7 is adopted. Amendment number 8 from Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 8.
I will object for discussion. Senator Begich, if you'd please explain the amendment.
Yes, this came up, Mr. Chairman, this came up in our discussions. There was an ambiguity. We have later on in the bill whether the student has previously not progressed to the next grade as one of the exceptions, but it was not clear. On the record, staff indicated that it probably would apply to other provisions of the bill. This just clarifies that on page 28, line 24 after section, and page 29, line 12 after section, that we are still including this as one of the exceptions, and that is whether the student has previously not progressed to the next grade in terms of progression. That was in SB 42, that was in SB 8, that was in SB 111, And I think it became less clear in the CS, and so this just provides that clarity back. It is, there is a section O in SB 111, CS for SB 111 that does include this language, but it doesn't, this just clarifies that it does apply to the other areas of the bill.
Thank you, Senator Baker. I'd reviewed this change, and I was okay with it. Any other comments from the board, or from the committee? I'm sorry. All right, so I remove my objection. With no other objection from the committee, amendment number 8 is adopted. Okay, the next amendment is from myself, Senator Holland. I will move amendment number 9.
And I will object for purposes of explanation.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Amendment number 9, it tries to provide more clarity regarding the ADM, the average daily membership funding limit, and the ability for larger districts to participate. This amendment moves the funding limit from AS14.03.410 related to early education grants over to AS14.17.500 related to student average daily membership counts. It also makes clear how the department manages the approval of programs while controlling the increase in state aid. Finally, the amendment moves the prohibition on including students in programs receiving other state or federal funding. It moves that provision from AS14.17.905 relating to facilities constituting a school over to AS14.17.500 relating to student counts in the ADM, the average daily membership. Senator Begich, do you maintain your objection?
I do not, but I wanted to just clarify what this does, according to staff, to me, based on your description, is it just really kind of cleans up language that's been spread out all over the bill and puts it into one place and makes it, provides more clarity. So I'm not going to object to this amendment, Mr. Chairman. I withdraw my objection.
Are there any other questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, amendment number 9 is adopted. Okay, the next one is amendment number 10, and amendment number 10 is another one of my amendments. I move amendment number 10.
And I do object to this amendment, and for purposes of explanation, and then to offer some thoughts on it.
Thank you, Senator Begich. I'll explain. Amendment number 10 is sort of a grammatical fix. It's a technical fix as to Alaska Statute 14.03.410C, which clarifies that the criteria apply equally to all agencies providing alternative early education programs. Senator Begich, do you maintain your objection?
I do, just for a moment, Mr. Chairman. And this is one where we've talked briefly with the drafter, Noah Klein, and I think what this is attempting to do is try to clarify the language around this section. We brought this up and discussed it when we were going through the sectional analysis, and the issue we wanted to be sure happened here was that we didn't provide grants, early education grants, to an area that already had service at a quality level that matched the quality level identified in the bill. Further, the clarification under number 2 here would continue operating after development of a district early education program is an and not an or exception, which I think is the way it should be written. I'm going to withdraw my objection because I think the intent of this, I get the intent of it. I will double check the language to make sure it's doing what the chairman intends, but I believe it does, and we have to trust our legal on these things. So I withdraw my objection and look forward to seeing exactly what you're trying to do here incorporated in the bill, and I think it does, but let's, I'll just ask that question again, and if there is an issue, I'll bring it to your attention at a later date, but at this point, it looks good to me.
Thank you, Senator Begich.
I withdraw my objection.
Thank you. Is there any other question or comment? Seeing no further objection, amendment number 10 is adopted. Amendment number 11 by Senator Begich.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I move amendment number 11.
I will object for discussion. Senator Begich, please explain the amendment.
Yes, this goes back to the robust reporting requirements. Both your office and my office worked on this language, trying to find the right way to approach the reporting to make sure, A, it's doing what we intended to do, B, that it includes public input, and C, that the department can do it. So working with the department, we developed, I think, collectively this language, and I think this language effectively puts all that reporting requirement in the same place and makes clear what we're doing and then offers the independent process for doing it. I don't know if the commissioner wants to comment on this, but this, I believe what this does will meet with the ability of the department to conduct the report, and that's what we were trying to do.
Is there any other question or comment on this? Senator Hughes.
So one of the things that I noticed in the material that we're deleting, it has parents as part of the process. By deleting that, are we removing parents from opportunity to be part of that, of the process, as far as the determining the effectiveness?
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Senator Begich.
If you look at the first section there, it's delete all material and insert annually convene either in person, electronic, panel made up of teachers, grades, et cetera, et cetera. It's not meant to exclude the parent, but I see your point there that it is not in there. Ed, do you want to comment on that?
Line five?
Oh, parents of students. It's right there. It's on line five. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's right there on line five.
And I apologize because I just saw the delete. I didn't see the insert.
That's fine. I did notice that Commissioner Johnson had popped up momentarily on the screen. Commissioner Johnson, if you had some input.
To the chair. No, I just, Senator Begich, asked if the department wanted to say anything other than thank you for the work that's happened the past couple of days with our staff to kind of clean this up and unify it. Reporting really is the foundation for the accountability portion of this bill, and so we appreciate as much clarity as possible from you on what that reporting looks like, because that's what the accountability is based upon.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. I will remove my objection. Is there any other objection from the committee? Seeing none, Amendment 11 is adopted. Next will be Amendment 12. From Senator Hughes.
Mr. Chair, I move amendment number 12.
I will object for discussion. Senator Hughes, would you please explain the amendment?
Yeah, first I'll explain the purpose and then just how it worked. The purpose is so that we're really trying to shake out what is working, what is not working. And of course, we're very hopeful that the standards that we have with our pre-K program will work, and but we know there can be a variety of other programs, and whether or not they decide to meet the standards that we're putting forward in SB 111 is yet to be seen. But some, for instance, some Head Start programs may choose to adopt the standards here and follow them, but they wouldn't be captured, and we wouldn't know that. We might have some that follow it and some that would not. And so if we're really going to know what's working, that's the attempt of this. So I just want to get on the record. That is the purpose. So what it would do, it would require when a district would enroll a student that there would be an optional, you know, the parents filling out the child's name and giving the address or and phone numbers and all those things. There would be an optional line where the parent could mark whether the child was in an early education program, and then the name and location of that program. And that then would be data that we would kind of know what they had before they came in the kindergarten door. And then the district would have to keep also tabs on, for instance, which Head Start programs were meeting the requirements that we're putting forward in SB 111 and which ones aren't. So as they're assessing the child, if, for instance, the child's in a Head Start program that is meeting the standards, they would be in the same category as a pre-K program through the grant, the pre-K program that we're putting in this bill. So that's the purpose. I know it's a little bit complicated. It's just an optional addition on the enrollment form for districts, and then the district having a sense of the various programs across the state and which ones meet the standards.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Begich.
I have a couple questions about this, and I'm hoping that the sponsor of the amendment can answer them, or maybe the commissioner can. The first one is that to understand, there's an equation of childcare programs to early education in this document, and I'm a little concerned about that because childcare would cover from zero to, you know, potentially to five or older even in some instances. And so I'm a little uncomfortable with that being in here. And then for the ability of the department to maintain the list and to ascertain whether they're meeting the standards, I don't know if that's a thing, and I'm curious from the commissioner, if that's a thing that the department can do. I did not review this one until this morning, so I've just now seen it, and I'm curious to know what the department thinks about that. And then secondarily, you've mentioned it's optional, and so it's self-reporting on which programs they went through. So if I say I went to the you know, the Shiloh Baptist Church child care, would the department then be required to review Shiloh Baptist Church child care to determine whether or not that child care meets the standards, or how else would they know that? So I think it might be more problematic than you intended. I know what you're trying to get here, but I'm not sure this is the right way to do it, but I'm curious to see.
And actually, all those things that have gone through your head have gone through mine, and I realize that this is really a problem, and my intention is actually to put it on the record and withdraw it, Mr. Chair, because I think that if we're going to be analyzing what works and doesn't work, I want the department to be very aware, particularly with the Head Start program, because we have a lot of those programs throughout the state. I believe about $6 million in state funding goes to Head Start each year. And some of those local boards, as Mr. Lackey said, they may choose to follow this. So I think that any accounting as they're reviewing the data, I think you are absolutely right. It'd be very difficult for them to even have the list. And this is kind of how the drafters figured they could do it. But I just wanted to get on the record, and for the commissioner, he might want to speak to this. Anything that they can do as they're at that 10-year mark, we want to have really good information and know what is truly working. And I did speak with a preschool teacher of a private preschool who is actually using meeting these standards already. And that, you know, and so if, as you're comparing the data, if you have some early education programs that are following it and some that aren't, it's going to be helpful for us as we sort it out as far as what's working and what's not working. So the commissioner, perhaps he might want to say, I am going to withdraw the amendment, but I just wanted to let you know that it's going to be important for us to figure out what's working, that you have, the department will have some sense of, for instance, the Head Start programs that would choose to meet the standards that are in SB 111.
So before Commissioner Johnson speaks, I'll also just add this. I was a little concerned also about tasking DEED with maintaining some sort of inspection status or something on over 200 Head Start programs in the state, and how that might affect the fiscal notes on the bill. Senator Begich.
You read my mind, Mr. Chairman. That, and what I think is really important about this amendment is that by putting it on the table and making it aware, of making us, all of us aware, it will make school districts themselves aware that this perhaps is data they should be collecting at any rate. And without mandating it, what we end up doing is sending the message that this is something that's going to be of importance to our analysis. And so I thank the senator for bringing it forward. I think that you've done its purpose. You've made its purpose known, and I think that's important.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Commissioner Johnson, please state your name and provide any comments.
Yep. Once again, I'm still Michael Johnson, for the record, the department, the commissioner of the Department of Education Early Development. Thank you. So thank you for this discussion. It's great. And as I said before, we're just working through those. I want to say right at the beginning, Senator Hughes, thank you so much. Really do appreciate the emphasis and focus on quality in all the programs out there. I think that's commendable and appreciate that. I do think we'll have to be careful, because an unintentional outcome would be that the state would be interfering or could diminish choices out there in education freedom and private programs. And I would want to be very careful of private programs that don't receive state money that we would be interfering with. Having said that, the Department of Health and Social Services does support all these programs in terms of, you know, safety and health and that sort of thing. And secondly, the department stands very willing to support all the programs out there with the standards that we develop. And if private programs want to move toward those standards, we are happy to help them. THREAD and several other organizations in the state also do that work very effectively. And so I think the intent and kind of the spirit of this is something that we can do, whether it's in statute or we just, if a reading bill passes, we work with that and try to, you know, focus on quality across the state for all students.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. A brief at ease. Will remove my objection. Senator Hughes.
And I will withdraw amendment number 12.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Amendment number 12 has been withdrawn. Next up will be amendment number 13 by Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number 13.
I will object for discussion. Senator Begich, please explain the amendment.
Yes, this amendment does is it goes back to some language that was in the original SB8, which said reading specialist or support reading specialist. And the reason support reading specialist was added was that was brought to our attention by a number of rural school districts and rural school boards. What they indicated was in some of their instances, they wouldn't have the opportunity to have a reading specialist. And so the idea of the support reading specialist was added to that. And it says here, as you read in subsection 2, it adds support reading specialists for each school selected to participate. It defines that. So that becomes a department employee. And that's for the reading program specifically. So you may remember there are 5 schools that are identified. In this instance, if you're working in one of those schools and it's a larger school, you might have a reading specialist and then the support reading specialist who wanted to provide the training to both. Now, that was the original intention, and that was the intention that was really built around the capacity of some of these districts that are having or struggling. They may not even have a reading specialist, or they may have need for more than one reading specialist because they are struggling. So that's why the language had been added before. It's eliminated in SB 111. I'm not sure. I don't believe it was in SB 42. I'm not sure if it was, but it may have been. It was part of the reading program, but that's where that originally came from. I brought it up a couple of times in committee, but it's something that I think would be essential as a tool for those schools we've identified that would be covered by the reading program, the 5 struggling schools.
Thank you, Senator Begich. I'll just state that in conversations with Deed, we had discussed whether those 5 positions would be retained or not, and they were supportive of keeping those 5 positions out. I will probably vote not in favor of this amendment. And so I will ultimately maintain my objection probably at the end if the amendment's not withdrawn. But is there any other discussion on this amendment?
Could we hear from the commissioner on this?
Senator Hughes, certainly. Commissioner Johnson, are you still there?
Yes, sir. For the record, Michael Johnson, Commissioner of Education and Early Development. To the chair, I would characterize we were willing to support that reduction, you know, as part of overall work that was being done on the bill to reduce the cost and that sort of thing. We certainly support whatever the committee can contribute to a robust implementation of this bill, but we know that that's a trade-off. There are other, you know, nothing is free, and so what has to be given up for additional resources in other places. But if we need to be willing to give up those 5 positions for other things in the bill, just because the fiscal situation, we were willing to do that. But we also, you know, would really appreciate a robust opportunity to implement this bill. And that all is something that you folks have to decide in the bigger picture of the state budget.
Senator Hughes.
Commissioner, would it be possible for there to be professional development offered to the district so that one of their own staff could be taught how to be a support reading specialist rather than the department having them hired and flying them out to the various locations. In other words, professional development without an entire college degree, but a teacher that could take extra training to be a support reading specialist. So they would still have access to that without them being employees of the of DEED.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, yes, and that's actually what these positions were intended to do, was to go out to districts and train their staff to do what you just said. So in other words, these positions would go out and model and demonstrate the effective practices we know, you know, need to be implemented in schools for reading. And so these positions wouldn't be permanent positions forever in a district. They would be, they would go and build capacity in the district for those folks working in the district to implement effective reading policies. So I think the answer to your question is yes, it is possible to provide that kind of staff development, and that that would be the intent of these positions and other positions that have been in the bill. And we would work with other partners, ASDN, the CERC, others, to make sure that we're providing as much professional development as possible, not only to, I know I'm going a little beyond the amendment, but not only to the folks providing the instruction, but for us to really implement this bill in a way that makes the difference that the legislature is looking for, we need to provide professional development for everyone in the system, including the teachers, but also administrators, superintendents, board members. Everybody has to come around and support the implementation of this bill.
Thank you.
Senator Baggage.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hughes, I think the commissioner has made the argument for the positions. This is it's actually a relatively small cost for the support levels that have been identified. And I would just harken back to the Moore lawsuit, which was a lawsuit filed back in 2005 and resolved in 2008, 9, and 10. There were a series of resolutions to it. But what that lawsuit identified, and which I've brought up before on the record on the floor and otherwise, is the importance of the department having the capacity to actually do its job. That's come up numerous times. Over the years, we've cut back the capacity of the department to do its job. And partially why this was identified in the first place was for that training purpose. So I would encourage the members to, given the commissioner's comments, to support this amendment.
Senator Hughes.
Well, I listened to the commissioner too, and he did say that it would be, my question was whether the district could train up their own staff to be a support reading specialist, if there'd be professional development to do that. And he indicated that it could be. And I think eventually every district should have their own support reading specialist, because you're always going to have challenges throughout the years, even once this program is up and running and doing well. You're going to have new teachers, maybe need a little extra guidance. You're going to maybe have some challenging students. So I was happy to hear the commissioner say that this could be professional development that could be provided to district teachers and employees. And so for that reason, and I think that districts should eventually have this kind of position on their own staff, I will be joining you as a no, Mr. Chair.
And I'll just state that I got lost in your words, and I'm afraid I lost my conversation. I'll ask Mr. King to come and provide a few comments on it. But and I remember what I was going to say is, you know, I know this is the Education Committee. I probably worry too much about what the Finance Committee should be worried about. And I do believe this bill is still going to struggle to get through the Finance Committee because of the fiscal notes involved. But Mr. King.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ed King, staff to Senator Holland. Mr. Chairman, I just would like to point out that the five additional positions here would cost somewhere between $500,000 and $600,000 a year, most likely in addition to the expense that's already in the fiscal note. Mr. Chairman, I would also point out that of the more than 18,000 positions that are in the state, those positions are not all enumerated in law. It's actually relatively rare for a position to be enumerated in law, and nothing precludes the department from providing these additional services if they get it through the budget process. It doesn't necessarily need to be in here. However, if it is in here, it will trigger the fiscal note.
Thank you, Mr. King. Is there any other question? Any other question or comments from the committee? Seeing none, I will maintain my objection. Senator Machicki.
I'm going to throw something out there because I don't want this mysterious no vote to pop up at the end without an explanation. I'd like for this bill to pass.
Brief it is.
Brief. Record and Senator Machicki.
One of the reasons for this bill is the public is dissatisfied with what they're spending on education versus the end result product, where we're just not competing on a national stage. And I'd like for it to pass. I think it's incredibly important, and we will find a way for necessary resources to be there. But adding to the fiscal note at this point, I think, jeopardizes the passage of the bill, so I will be a no.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. I will remove my objection at this time. Is there any other comment from the committee? Senator Begich.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw the motion because we've been so united as it stands. I think I'm going to leave the contention for the very last amendment. And just to say, one thing I do want to put on the record is the department has experimented with this approach, and we've had some success in some really difficult districts. And my hope is that we'll find a path to providing this resource and this training so that we can model the behavior we want districts that Senator Hughes has alluded to, that we want districts to do, which is to train up their own staff as well. So by modeling the behavior and doing it in a consistent manner, it leads to consistent policy. With that, I withdraw amendment number 13.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Amendment number 13 is withdrawn. And I do believe we're on to amendment number 14 by Senator Begich.
I move amendment number 14.
I will object for explanation. Senator Begich, please explain the amendment.
It is a long amendment, but it is, we now know for sure from our legislative legal staff, it is an accurate one that would effectively remove all the repealer clauses in the bill. And I want to just say that, you know, I understood the what we've done by passing the other 11 amendments that we've passed is we've made a more robust bill. In particular, we've also created a very robust reporting process, a process that must be adhered to, that the department has to do, that requires constant review, and that we end up benefiting from that review on this committee. I think, and I understand the philosophy behind the repealer clauses. We've had this discussion before, and I won't belabor it except to say, I think when it comes to education policy, sunsetting education policy is not necessarily in the best interest of the state. Being strict in our review and constant in our review is. With that, I move amendment number 14 and hope that the members will find a reason to support removing the sunset clauses from this bill at this time.
Thank you, Senator Begich. I'll just state that I am also not in favor of sunsetting policy necessarily. This was the intention of the sunsets in this bill were to provide fiscal sideboards to provide an efficacy test for the programs. And I will tell you, I will keep these three pages, and if I am lucky enough to still be involved in the Education Committee in 6 or 7 or 8 years and we can see some progress in this program, I will be one of the first ones championing the removal of the sunsets much before the 10-year sunset, which would hit sometime in 2034. And so I'm not opposed to removing them, just not at this time. But so I will maintain my objection. Senator Hughes.
Yes, and I appreciate the maker of the amendment, his concern. When you have good policy, you want it to stick. But I also know as legislators, we get dozens and dozens and dozens of reports every year to review. And there's something about a sunset that really makes you, okay, you have to take it up. And you have to make sure that you're really reviewing. And the Education Committee would need to do that. And it does hold everybody's feet to the fire. It holds legislators' feet to the fire. And, you know, I confess, I don't review every report that I get for all the many, 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 many programs in the state. So this one we will make sure, and our kids are important enough that we want the legislators to review it. And we also want to put fire under everyone's feet to do the best that they can in the districts and indeed. For that reason, I actually strangely think that it is a good thing, even though normally with good policy you want it to keep going, and I hope that things will continue when we hit that. I think it's a long enough stretch. If it were 2 or 3 years, that would be a problem. But when you're putting something out for 10 years, it gives us plenty of time to make sure it's up and working, and any tweaking then can be done when you review the at the sunset time to make it even better. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion?
Yes.
Senator Begich.
I just briefly, if you are going to use these three pages, wait till after all the amendments have been adopted, because the numbers will change. So with that, I look forward to the vote.
All right. Well, I will. Senator Stevens, you have.
Mr. Chairman, I just appreciate the chairman's commitment to running for office 10 years from now. Thank you for that.
I assure you, no. All right. Was that the sole comment? Thank you, Senator Stevens. All right. Well, so I will maintain that objection. And along those lines, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
No.
Senator Bachicki?
No.
Senator Begich?
Yes.
Senator Holland?
Yay. Up. Oh, correction. Correction.
I thought I got a second one after all.
I'm not ready for that kumbaya moment just yet. I withdraw that yay, and I say nay. I should pay attention. Thank you, Madam Secretary. With one yay and four nays, amendment number 14 is not adopted. All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Begich.
Less than 50 minutes, 14 amendments. I think that's pretty rare for this process. So I want to thank you for your diligence in working with each of the members to express each of those amendments to them and to let folks know what was happening with the bill and moving the bill forward. Communication, as you've mentioned to me in the past, is the key to successful committee work. So appreciate that very much.
Thank you, Senator Begich. I think that was important, good communications. I think many of these amendments were discussed significantly before this moment here in this committee. Senator Bachicki.
Yeah, I didn't think Senator Begich's argument was quite good enough to get a yay out of you on the sunset dates, although that was fun. This really has been a very positive process, and it's sort of how the legislature is supposed to work. We had respectful disagreement. We came together on a bill leaving this committee, and it may not be what everyone wants. It's not perfect, but it moves on to the next committee, and we're working together to improve the outcome for Alaska students, even though we're not 100% aligned, right? Maybe we're all equally unhappy, and I really appreciate the way you all came together. You were kind of 180 out. And we have a product here, and I know that folks will continue to try for other things as it goes through the process, but I really do hope this bill can pass this legislature this year. I think our kids need this supplemental encouragement to be successful. So let's not let the perfect get in the way of the much, much better, and thank you for all of you. I think it's a great committee. I really enjoyed this process.
Thanks, Senator Bachicki. Just as a technical thing, I will just ask, are there any further amendments to the bill? And seeing none, are there any other comments from the committee? Senator Hughes.
Yeah, I'm going to save my speech for the floor, but I'm very happy that we've done the work we have. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your leadership with that, too.
All right. With no further comments from the committee, I did want to give Commissioner Johnson a chance if he had any final remarks on Senate Bill 111.
To the chair, again, this is Michael Johnson, Commissioner of Education and Early Development. I had thought my comments were going to be at the beginning, so they're already out of date. So I will simply say Thank you for all working together. Thank you for exemplifying the kind of governance and statesmanship that I so want our students in this state to see when it comes to policymaking. It's not an easy process, but it's a worthy process. And so I appreciate you as a committee, and I appreciate each and individual member of this committee and the heart and commitment to kids that you've brought to this discussion. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. Senator Machicki.
Mr. Chairman, I actually had a conversation with the commissioner and worked on an amendment to not repeal the policy, and our discussions with your staff, is that something that is something we will work on? We don't want to hold it up. Even if the funding ends up being having to meet the test of time and performance in a few years for the funding to continue, I agree with the commissioner that I would hate to see the policy disappear. So, commissioner, I will keep my personal eyes on the bill to make sure that we do preserve the policy even if something else goes away, and we'll be working with the committee sponsor here and other committee members to make sure that's the case.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Are there any other comments from the committee? Seeing none, Senator Stevens, what is the will of the committee?
Now, Mr. Chairman, I move that Senate Bill 11132-LS0485-O, as amended, be advanced from the Senate Education Committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal notes.
Without objection. Senate Bill 111, version O, as amended, has passed from the Senate Education Committee. Is there any other business before the committee today? Seeing none, our next meeting will be Monday, April 19th at 9 a.m., and amazingly, we're adjourned at 10 a.m.